This is WMUK. I'm Kara Lawrence. Tonight at 8 o'clock in the Dalton Center Recital Hall, you'll hear saxophonist Steve Wilson and Wilsonian's Grain, his quartet, with a new CD release coming out in just a couple of days. It's a great chance to hear a player at the top of his game. And here to talk about it is drummer Keith Hall, as well as Steve Wilson. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Good morning.
It's very exciting. I'm going to start with you, Keith, and talk to me about Steve Wilson and his importance to jazz in the last 20, 25 years. He's really one of the most out there saxophonists, most used. I mean, he's just everywhere you look.
He is, and for good reason. I mean, Steve, and where do you start? I met Steve here at Western in the early 90s when he came through with Buster Williams, and somehow we made a connection and have kept in touch ever since. And I moved to New York, and he was very helpful with me in terms of getting work and introducing me to people, and he's been a big influence on me, whether he knows it or not. certainly one of the most important players on the scene today. He's just the consummate professional. You know, why do people hire Steve Wilson? I mean, number one, he plays great. He's soulful, emotional, and he's very interactive and just inclusive. Whenever I've gotten a chance to play with Steve or hear him live, it's really a community vibe. I never feel like the band is supporting him, but he's including everybody and he's trying to engage with everyone. And so there's so many reasons why he's so important, and we can probably get to some more of those maybe after some music.
But. Yeah. Well, Steve, in the world of jazz, a lot of people say, oh, you sound like so-and-so, or I hear a bit of this player in your playing. And I was just wondering, if you think back to when you were starting out, did you care about players of the past, or were you just like, I'm playing my horn the way I want to play it?
Oh, no, I cared very much about players of the past. I still do. You know, I consider, you know, being in this music, we're part of a continuum. And we stand on many shoulders of the great architects, you know. And, of course, the ideal is to find your own voice. That's imperative. That's part and parcel of the music. But when you think about all of the great innovators, they all had their influences. You know, Thelonious Monk had Duke Ellington. You know, Charlie Parker had Lester Young, Miles Davis at Clark Terry. So they all have, you know, their points of departure and points of references, as I like to call them. But being in this music is such a privilege, because it's a part of we're part of a history, and a history and a legacy that has touched, you know, people from all over the world. So it's still very important to me.
And I think about it, I spend most of the time talking to classical players, and I think of composers and how they always wanted to think, no one's ever written anything like me before. I wondered if maybe jazz is a little different, because you're learning by ear a lot of time, and you almost, you know, ingest the soul of someone else for a while you're working on their solos.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we're always reaching for new territory every time we play. You know, Wilsonian's Grain, you know, the one constant we have in the band, or that the ideal I have for the band, is that I don't want to do everything the same, you know, every night. I want us to take chances and have the spontaneity, because everyone is so skilled and so creative, and they have their own unique musical personalities. And I totally trust in that, and we totally trust in each other. So we can walk on the wire without a net and feel okay, you know, and if we fall, we know how to get up. You know, and that's part of the journey, and we like to take the audience on that journey with us. So it's a lot of fun.
Well, let me tell listeners again about this new release. It's Steve Wilson and Wilsonian's Grain live at the Vanguard in New York City, mm-hmm. which is a place maybe not a lot of us have actually been to, but we've all heard about. I saw that it started in 1935 mm-hmm. and went all jazz in 1957. Mm-hmm. And some of the great players that you would have admired did some great, great shows there.
Yeah. Too. Yeah, as a matter of fact, last week they had a big, I think, 80th anniversary celebration with Jason Moran curating the week. I wasn't able to get by, but I'm sure it was a wonderful week of music. And there's such a history to that place. And it's been the band's home for the last few years now. And I've played there many times with different groups and my own groups. And it's, you know, knowing everybody there and you know, all of the great musicians and friends that come through, it has that, it's the center of the jazz universe. You know, people come there from all over the world every night.
Well, yeah, I imagine part of the audience will be tourists and people who just wanted to go to a great jazz landmark, but others, mm-hmm. others might be familiar faces that come week after week.
Yeah, you see, well, New York has its jazz regulars, you know, people who are part of the community, and they come by, and of course, there's always people that come from Japan and Europe, South America, you know, and they come to New York, you know, with the goal of coming to the Vanguard, you know, because it has such a history. So, yeah, it's every night's a lot of fun.
Well, on the album, you can hear a lot of enthusiasm after solos during these sets, and it also has a kind of a raw like sound that you would get on some of the albums that became classics out of that venue.
Mm-hmm.
And none of it's very shy. None of it's like dinner music
anybody. No.
This is like people are there for the music.
That's right. Yeah, they don't serve food there, so you know they're coming for the music. Yeah,
and I would. So are there any bad nights at the Vanguard? I mean, are there times when people are ignoring you and they're just talking amongst themselves loudly?
Not really, no. I mean, you know, people know what they're coming for when they come there. And they're very attentive. And sometimes you have, you have a mix. You have musicians. Then you have the real jazz enthusiasts. Then you have students who come by checking out the music as part of an assignment for their class, perhaps. And they'll come up and want to ask you questions, or young music students. So it's a real mix, and people who just want to come to the Vanguard and see what, you know, this place is all about. You know?
So it's kind of a great idea to record there. Tell me a little more about deciding to make the album and how it went, how quickly it was done.
Yeah, well, we had been considering recording the band over the last year, and I thought with this band, I really wanted to capture the live energy of the group, because there's so much spontaneity that takes place. And we've been playing the Vanguard every year. So I thought, you know, I think it's much better to do it live than to go in the studio. You know, in the studio, we tend to be a little bit more formulaic, you know, and considering lengths of tunes. And, well, this tune's too long. We need to make it 6 minutes instead of seven, you know, for this reason or that reason. I just really wanted to capture the raw live energy of the band, you know, in its most natural state. And it just made sense to do it at the Vanguard, because that's what we feel most comfortable in playing. And we had a great week. We had a sold out week. Great audiences that brought a wonderful energy. They were really into the music. And it was just a thrilling week. And just logistically, everything fell into place.
Kind of makes sense to me to start off with the first track on the CD, which is a Thelonious Monk tune. What do you know about this piece?
Well, you needn't. Well, it's a piece that probably made most famous by Miles Davis when he recorded it back in the 50s. But one of the most played Thelonious Monk tunes, and I'm a big Monk fan, as most of us are. And I was, you know, I had just decided to do an arrangement specifically for this group, and this is what you'll hear.
This group includes Steve Wilson on saxophones and Oren Evans on keyboard, bassist Yugona Okegwo, and Bill Stewart on drums. And let's give it a listen. like we said, this is not a shy, retiring sort of band. If you tuned in during the music, my guest is Steve Wilson, the great saxophonist who is here in town with Wilsonian's Grain to play for you tonight at 8 o'clock in the Dalton Center Recital Hall, and with a brand new release to share with you all as well. Keith Hall, also in the studio, the professor of jazz drums at Western Michigan University and host of WMUK's Jazz Currents, which I can now say is the award-winning WMUK Jazz Currents.
Right, well done, Keith.
So we just heard a track from the new album, which was recorded live at the Vanguard and is not going to be released until next Tuesday unless you come down tonight and hear the show and get your own copy, right?
Yeah, that's right. As a matter of fact, we have the very first batch of the hard copy of the CD right here for all of you folks in Kalamazoo. So you'll get these before the rest of the world. So and we will have them available tonight. And as a matter of fact, they were shipped directly here to Keith. So it's been under his stewardship for the last 24 hours. So
under lock and key.
Well, I imagine a lot of them will be flying out of the box tonight at the show, which again starts at 8 o'clock. And details are at WMUJazz.com. And you can also find out a lot more about Steve as we talk, by listening to us talk, but also at stevewilsonmusic.com. There's a huge discography there and a chance to see some of the incredible projects you've been involved in. Now, I need to think of a question for you.
Okay.
Well, let's react to this music a little bit. Your bandmates are amazing.
Yes, they are. They are.
I don't want to single out the drummer, but he really is going crazy on that track. His name?
Bill Stewart, the great Bill Stewart. And, you know, as we've been talking with Keith and Keith talking about, you know, his students transcribing Bill. And for good reason. I mean, he's one of the most seminal drummers of the last 25 years. I've been playing with him since the late 80s. And I played on him with Kevin Hayes, a great pianist. And we did a recording, actually one of Bill's recordings called Telepathy and Blue Note. I think it was from the early 90s. And with Seamus Blake, great tenor player, and Larry Grenadier and Bill, bass, and Bill Carruthers, great pianist. And it shows off Bill Stewart's leadership and composing skills. He's a great musician, along with being a great drummer. And he just brings something dynamic, as you can hear, very dynamic to the fold. And that week at the Vanguard, he was just letting it fly, you know, throwing caution to the wind. So, but I mean, I'd like to hear a bit of Keith's take on it too, as a drummer, you know, what you get from that.
Yeah. And we were talking earlier about this, and I talk about this with my students a lot, is that Bill Stewart. Well, I've been listening to Bill for 20 years. You know, he's been influencing me since I was a student, certainly the first time I heard him. And, you know, there are these, he has his own vocabulary. And we were saying he has such an identifiable sound, and he has just these things that only he does. These things that, you know, even if you try to play it, we know who you're trying to sound like. You know, it's, you know, unmistakably Bill Stewart. He just has a really special sound, and it's just this great energy. And like Steve said, you know, he was really going for it, but I always, you know, on some level he is always going for it and is really, really, unpredictable, you know, in a good way.
This is, it's setting up a dissonance in my mind because the guy's a force of nature on this track. But he's a, you know, a red-haired kid from Iowa as well. I mean, in person, is he just normal and Midwestern?
Actually, very much so. Very soft-spoken, you know, but a fun-loving guy, you know, very witty. I mean, but this other side of his personality comes out on the stage, and it's great. You know, he's very explosive, but he has a lot of subtlety also. I mean, he's very musical, mm-hmm. very tasteful. He can cover the whole spectrum of musicality, you know, and that's one of the reasons we all love him.
Now, the other musicians here are equally unique. Mm-hmm. Aaron Evans on piano, from what I heard, gives me the sense that he really thinks in clusters and kind of horizontally a lot of the mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm. He really pays attention to voicing mm-hmm. the harmonies.
Yes. Oren is, in my opinion, one of the most unique, original voices, not just on piano, but just as a composer, arranger. He does a whole range of projects. He has his own big band called the Captain Black Big Band, which has been making some waves the last few years. He has a trio. He does quintet work. He does the whole thing. And he comes from a very artistic family. So he draws on a lot of different sources of inspiration. I believe his father was a writer and a poet. So he's really been tapped into a whole creative energy his whole life, and he brings all of that to his musicality. And he really plays things, well, like Keith was saying about Bill, you know, totally unexpected, things that are off of the normal spectrum of what we might think would fit. You know, he finds new harmonies, new rhythms. He's very rhythmic. He's very witty. And one of the reasons I love this band is collectively, everyone's in a different corner of the room, you know, in terms of influences, styles, and personalities. But together, it creates a very unique kind of energy. It all seems to fit somehow. You know, we're all very compatible and complement each other. And we keep each other on our toes. And that's why I love it. You know, we can take those chances and totally trust in each other. So, and Ugona is kind of the rock of the band. He's so steady in his beat.
The bassist.
And, yeah. And we've been working together off and on for many, many years. So he's kind of the glue that allows us to you know, fly all over the place. And he knows when to step out and when to come back. And so it's just a fun group to play. That dynamic between us individually, it's just it's wonderful. We don't have to talk about things much. And that's the best part.
Is it a bit like both playing a concert and going to a concert when you're on stage with them?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I honestly have so much fun listening to them, you know, when I'm playing and when I'm not playing. I just, because I'm like waiting like everybody else. Where's this going to go? You know, it's a lot of fun.
Well, maybe for contrast, we could pick out a slower piece, a ballad, maybe Chrysalis, which is a tune that you wrote.
Mm-hmm.
What were the circumstances of you writing this piece?
Well, I originally wrote that back in 2000, I think. And the original recording was on a recording I had called Generations with our dearly departed friend Mulgrew Miller, great pianist. Ben Riley, who's one of the great legendary drummers, and Ray Drummond on bass. And that group did it beautifully. They played it wonderfully. Though the way we recorded it here with Wilsonian's Grain is the way I originally conceived the piece to be played, sort of a more open sort of tone poem style.
Mm-hmm. Well, just a reminder to folks, Steve Wilson and Wilsonian's Grain play live tonight in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Starts at 8. Tickets at the door, or find them online at WMUJazz.com. And the new CD will be available only at tonight's concert. You can't get it until next week anywhere else. So be there, or, you know, the rest of it. Here is Chrysalis by Steve Wilson. It's recorded live at the Vanguard in New York City, the Village Vanguard, yeah? And my guest, Steve Wilson, is heard on that track, saxophone, and that's a piece that you wrote, Steve, Chrysalis.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely, lovely feel to that, and a huge build-up in the middle. Tonight, you're playing with your quartet, Wilsonian's Grain, at 8 o'clock in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. And before I forget to mention it, there is a masterclass that is technically open to the public. It starts at 3:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. And I imagine you'll be working with jazz students at Western Michigan University.
Mm-hmm.
Will he be restricted to simply saxophone players, or do you, Keith, maybe you know how people get to play for the visiting artists?
We have a couple of groups that are ready to perform for the guys, and they're going to offer some feedback and maybe play with them. And I mean, it's up to Steve where it goes from there, but knowing Steve, it's going to be pretty interactive, I think. And, and we'll probably want to stay all night and do that, you know, but we'll have to give them a dinner break. So. But it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, while I was listening to the music and thinking about this concert and this interview this morning, I was thinking, Keith, you know, you and Tom Kniffick and the faculty there just spoiling these kids with amazing, amazing guest artists.
We're all spoiled, really. We're as excited as the kids are about having all these great artists here. And as I said this to some of the students this week, you know, we've had some really fine artists in this semester. Randy Brecker was just in, Miguel Zenon was in just last week. And I mean, it was incredible. And as amazing as it was for the students and the faculty to play with them and play their music, I mean, those guys are just true masters. But that now to have a complete band come in where all of those guys are on that level, I think it's going to be on a completely different level tonight, and I think it's going to be a really special night.
Again, that's at 8 o'clock tonight in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. We should mention that we were talking about Orrin Evans, but he will not be your jazz pianist tonight. You have another colleague.
Yeah, Orrin had a previous commitment, and he couldn't make this tour, so another a wonderful colleague, longtime colleague, and an amazing pianist and musician, George Colligan, will be on us with his tours. And George also brings just a whole wide array of originality and imagination. So nothing will be lost in terms of intensity and ideas. He'll fit right in just like a glove. So it'll be wonderful.
Are you often in that sort of masterclass setting? Do you schedule that fairly frequently?
Yes, very much so. Yeah, a lot of my activity is in teaching. I'm a full-time faculty member at City College in New York and part-time at Juilliard. And I've been teaching for probably the better part of 15 years now, steadily. And when we tour, we purposely try to schedule masterclasses, workshops. One, because we love working with young musicians and developing musicians, and it's a way of developing a community ties also, you know, to get more ties into each place that we go to and develop relationships with students and teachers, and a way of giving back to the music and a way of keeping the music going forward. You know, this music is really about the oral tradition and the person-to-person contact. So it's taking the academic setting and taking the next step. So it's really a vital part of what we do.
You know, early on you talked about finding your own voice as being an important part of becoming a full musician. When you're listening to young players, are you better at diagnosing the technical stuff, or are you better at maybe hearing their potential or where they would need to go to find their own voice?
Both. We get a chance to assess all of that. You know, they work together. And most of the time it's a matter of exposure, you know, exposure to different approaches, exposure to older musicians and, you know, who are playing the music. And, you know, like Keith and I have both worked with, you know, musicians older than we are, and we're able to bring that knowledge to working with younger musicians. And that's so vital to what we do. The academic setting is very important in our development these days because of the apprenticeship system has been somewhat dismantled, but we get a chance to bring that, you know, to them, you know, and to bring that knowledge to them. So it's very important.
Through my ears, listening to this new record, Vanguard Sessions, live in New York, which is available next Tuesday or tonight if you go to the concert, I started thinking about what your take is on virtuosity and simplicity. And in a related story, I was looking ahead at another interview coming up with Ellis Marsalis, who's mm-hmm. coming to town. Mm-hmm. And I saw him on YouTube doing a solo, like a good 4-minute solo on the white notes of the piano. Mm-hmm, it was mm-hmm. fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, and I just get that sense that you can do it, but you're not out to throw in all the notes in one solo.
Right, right. Well, you know, I had the good fortune of working with Ellis back in the 80s. You know, a lot of gifts there. I mean, he has so much knowledge and about the history of the music, and he's a great musician. So I'm very happy to hear he's coming through. Yeah, you know, virtuosity, I don't know. I think it's all relative. For me personally, I've never been out to break any sound barriers, so to speak, in terms of virtuosity on the horn, just for technical sake. For me, it's mainly about musicality and making a statement. And the use of silence for me is important, because for me it's like having a conversation, you know. And as I like to tell my students as soloists, you don't have to do all of the work. You know, if you involve the band, you know, it's like an orchestra. You know, it's give and take, you know, and you have all of these layers. And if you allow yourself to be a part of those layers, you'll find much more music in that. And not just to be a soloist and then the rhythm section's over in the corner and now I'm going to play everything I've practiced for, you know, over the last 37 years. That's not the point of it, not to me. It's about having a musical conversation and about communication with the audience and the other musicians. It's all about communication.
You make room for them too.
Absolutely. You know, this music is a folk music. It's folk music. You bring the people into the music. Yes, it has a high degree of intellectualism, but it's soulful music. It's music for the soul. And I like to come away from performances of all kinds of music feeling fulfilled and something that I can take home and something that I'll remember for like the next 20 years, you know. And sometimes that can be just one note, you know. That's all you need.
Well, Keith here is insisting that we we talk about another recent project. I've been talking about Live in New York this whole time. But there's another album that Keith really wants to bring to listeners' attention called Duologue. And this is a duo album with Steve Wilson and Lewis Nash, who is a drummer.
Keith. Oh, really? He plays drums. I hadn't noticed that.
Oh. It's not often you see duo for drums and saxophone.
Right. Well, we've actually been doing this project now for about almost 14 years. And this is our first recording. We just put out this recording in August of last year, and finally we were able to put it together. And a part of most of the recording is live from the Manchester Craftsman's Guild in Pittsburgh, and they were the folks that produced it. It's a great organization out there. We've been doing this project, and we just have a lot of fun. And it really is what it says. We're having a conversation, a musical conversation. And Lewis is so musical, and you hear a lot of melody. You hear a lot of form in what he's doing. And so it's not just the drums bashing. And, you know, though that's great too, you know. But really it's, you know, it's a beautiful experience.
Let's start off with the tune, the first tune here on the CD that most people will know, is Juan Tizol's Caravan.
Yeah.
Wow, never heard anything quite like that. My guest Steve Wilson heard there on saxophone with drummer Lewis Nash. The album is Duologue, and that was a famous tune, Caravan. Mm-hmm. We're in the last few minutes of this hour, and Steve and Keith Hall need to go on to bigger and better things and warming up for tonight's concert. Listeners, Steve Wilson and Wilsonian's Grain, the quartet, will appear at 8 o'clock in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. The new CD available tonight and nowhere else. You are on a Midwest tour of sorts, so yes. You'll be moving on to a few other places nearby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cleveland and Ann Arbor, Chicago, and Columbia, Missouri.
Great, great. Well, I'm so glad you got to us.
So are we. It's great to be back.
Thank you. Thank you. And Keith, thank you for bringing your friend Steve here. And we hope to have more great music tonight and in the future. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kara.
Here's one of my favorite songs off of the new Vanguard CD, and it's by Migiwa Miyajima.
That's it.
Her tune is called If I Were a Wind of Spring.